Welcome to the Kate Languages podcast. I'm your host, Kate Clifton. I'm a former MFL teacher who left the classroom in 2017 to set off on my own adventure. Since then, I've developed my passion for helping teachers through creating time-saving teaching resources, delivering language lessons and CPD to languages teachers, and of course, through this podcast. I've had some wonderful feedback from teachers about how my work is helping them with their everyday teaching, and I love connecting with teachers from all over the world. To get in touch, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook. I'm at Kate Languages on both, or you can email me through my website, katelanguages.co.uk. But for now, grab a cuppa, although maybe not if you're listening in the car. Sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode of the Kate Languages podcast. Hey, how are you? Welcome back to the Kate Languages podcast. This is season 8, episode 5. Can't believe this season is nearly over. Just one more episode to go next week. And today I'm going to be talking about learning from failure. So not going to lie, feeling a bit nervous about this one. It's a bit like my teacher wellbeing and burnout episode that I did way back in season 1, which incidentally, a lot of people have told me is their favourite episode. So it's good to be vulnerable sometimes. It's good to tell people, you know, I mean, I am 100% not perfect in any way. I don't think anybody would be, if you follow me on social media, I don't think you'd be under any illusions I'm perfect, but I think it's good to remind people that everybody fails. So I was inspired to do this episode by something that I did earlier on this year, which felt like quite a failure, and I will tell you that because that's my third thing that I'm going to talk about. So I'm going to tell you three things that have happened in my working life. And I've got to say, these are pretty big things as well. It's not just like, oh yeah, I accidentally, I don't know, forgot to put the lid on a glue stick or something. Like, these are fairly big failures, I think, along the way in my professional career. But more importantly than the failure is what I've learnt from these failures. So I'm going to tell you three things, but before I tell you my three things, I want to give you a quote. So this is from Carol Dweck. If you've not heard of Carol Dweck, you need to read her book, Growth Mindset. If you're a teacher and you don't know anything about growth mindset, then I suggest you need to crack on and learn about this. This is something that is an absolute game changer for everybody. I truly, truly believe that. So when I was younger, I hated the idea of failing. Like, I was terrified of failing. And since I've understood growth mindset and, you know, read this book, it's just changed my perspective on things. So the quote is, failure is information. We label it failure, but it's more like, this didn't work. I'm a problem solver and I'll try something else. And this is the core of this episode. All right. So things that people label as failure, if you turn it around, if you have the growth mindset and think, this didn't work, but I'm a problem solver and I'll try something else. And yeah, I just think that's such a positive thing. So like I say, when I was younger, I don't know why I was so scared to fail. And when I look back now, like, I never failed a GCSE or an A-level or anything like that. I passed my driving test first time, like 2.5 months after my 17th birthday. I feel like I just did things that I knew I was going to be good at and that I wasn't going to fail at. And you need to learn from these things. And I wish I had understood when I was younger, and I feel like it wasn't something that people really talked about as much when I was younger. You know, it wasn't something that teachers talked to us about at school, like, do something that you're bad at, do something you're going to fail in because you're going to learn so much from it. So I'm not blaming, you know, this isn't like some kind of therapy session where I'm blaming my parents or my school or whatever. I just don't think it was something that we talked about. And even when I first started teacher training like 20 years ago or so, I don't think we talked about it as much as people do now. And I think it's such a positive thing. I think it's really good for your mental health. I think it's really good just for everything that you understand that if you try something and fail, it's a learning opportunity. It really, really is. So here we go. With all that in mind, I still feel quite nervous about sharing these three things that can be considered failures from my professional career. So my first failure was actually a failure to get a job in the first place. I did my PGCE at King's College in London. Shout out to anyone else who did their PGCE in London. I was living in Wandsworth in southwest London at the time, and I knew I wanted to stay in London for a while. I'd actually lived in Indonesia for a year, teaching English as a foreign language before I did my PGCE. And I trained at King's College. And yeah, so throughout my training course, you know, as you do, jobs would come up and I started applying for my first, you know, proper teaching role. And I think slightly blocked out the number, but I think I had 6 interviews before I actually got a job. And it took me right into the summer term. I don't think this is because I didn't have potential and because I don't think it's because I wasn't a good teacher. I'm being so super honest here. I think I was a bit arrogant. So as I mentioned, I had taught English as a foreign language in Indonesia for a year before that. I'd also taught in Switzerland. I had been a language assistant as part of my degree. My mum was a languages teacher. I thought I knew everything about languages teaching. So I might have come across as a little bit arrogant. So I'm very, very introverted and I come across very well on paper. I think I come across well when I'm presenting, you know, workshops or if I'm doing my podcast and things like that. I'm good at presenting. I don't think I always come across very well, like in real life, in an interview situation. I think I can be a bit awkward, and especially, I was like 25, 26 maybe when I was doing this. So, you know, I was a lot younger than I am now. And I think I might have come across as slightly awkward. In my defense, there were a couple of slightly weird interviews. So, I mean, first of all, teaching interviews are bonkers anyway. I mean, spending a whole day in a school, teaching a lesson, having like 3 interviews, and then having to accept a job offer on the day. I just feel like, why are we doing this? Anyway, I'm just going to like defend myself a little bit here. So some of the interviews were a bit weird. I think there were 1 or 2 schools where I kind of talked myself out of it anyway. There was one where I hadn't really looked at the location and it would have involved me moving out of Wandsworth and moving kind of out towards, I can't even remember where. In fact, there were a couple. There was one in High Wycombe and there was one in, I don't know, somewhere else. It was like Surrey or something that would have involved me moving out of London. So I think I kind of talked myself out of those ones. There was one where I didn't actually teach a normal lesson. We had groups of children in the library and there were maybe like 2 or 3 of us, each on a table with about 6 to 8 children. And we just had to, and I don't think we'd even had time to prepare stuff. They were just like, oh, teach them this point and like play a game with them or something. As I say, I'm quite introverted. Like once I'm in a classroom and it's my domain and my class, I'm more confident. But I'm actually not a particularly like loud, energetic kind of a person. And I remember, you know, I sort of sit, there must have been another teacher sitting on the table and all the kids, and I was just sort of doing something. And there was someone on the table next to me who was a lot more, let's say, enthusiastic. And she was just so loud and like really put me off. And I was like really distracted by her. I was trying to do my thing. And it was a really weird interview. I got sent home at lunchtime. I didn't even get to stay for the whole day. So that was a bit strange. And yeah, and it took a long time. Like I say, about 6 interviews. The 6th interview that I had was for a maternity cover. So another semi-failure was that I then had a maternity cover. And then the following year, I had another maternity cover. Incidentally, in a school that had rejected me when I was doing my PGCE, I then ended up teaching in that school my 2nd year of teaching. So who knows what happened there? Yeah, so I did 1 year maternity cover, then another year maternity cover. And then, I mean, it's actually bonkers when I think about it. I then went in to be second in department head of German in another school. And I stayed there for 2 years. And that's part of the failure as well that I'm going to talk about in the second point. Is I then left there as well. And my second point is how I left teaching is another one of my failures. But to go back to the first one. So yeah, having a lot of interviews and not getting the jobs. What did I learn from this? Okay, first of all, I learned that you need to trust your gut about a school. And I think I did that quite well straight away. And to realize that they're not just interviewing you, you are interviewing them as well. So it's a bit of a tip for you if you are going through an interview process at any point, that remember you are interviewing them. you don't have to be totally desperate to get a job. Sorry, especially in today's job market. I mean, this was back in, 2007 or something. But yeah, in today's job market, like, I think you've got a bit more leeway, really. I think, you know, you've got a bit more control over it all. But yeah, so to trust your gut, the last school I worked at, so the third school I worked at in London, where I was second in department, I had a feeling about the head of department there. And my mum reminds me, she was like, you weren't that keen on your head of department when you had the interview. And you did say to me, oh, I don't know what it was going to be like working for her. I wish I had trusted my gut, because it was hell working for her. She was a bully. She was horrible. She essentially split the department up into French and German. We didn't even have whole department meetings. Like, it actually gives me slight palpitations even talking about it, because she was such a bully. She was a horrible, horrible person. I met some lifelong friends in that school. I don't regret working in that school. The kids were lovely, but I should have trusted my gut about her. But yeah, the thing is as well, I just want to say, like, for all the failures and for everything that's ever gone wrong in my life, I literally would never change anything. So like I say, I have got a couple of lifelong friends who I worked with in that school. Like, I can't even bear the idea of them not being in my life. And I just feel like everything I did has led me up to what I'm doing now. And I just, yeah, I literally wouldn't change a thing, just because I would hate the idea that my life wouldn't be as it is now. So that's another thing you can learn from failure, is that, you know, it's all kind of leading to, whether you believe in sort of fate and that kind of thing, it's all leading to a bigger picture for sure. The other thing that I think you can learn from having lots of job interviews and not getting the job, don't put any pressure on yourself to try to find the perfect school either. There's no such thing, first of all, as a perfect school. And even if you think it's your absolutely ideal job. So when I got the job in the last school I worked at, which I'll talk about in a moment, because that's my second point of how I left teaching being a failure. When I got the job there, I loved it. Like, the department was brilliant. Again, I have lifelong friends from that department, and I don't regret it. I don't regret the fact that I worked there. We were all quite similar. We all had similar ways of working. We all supported each other really, really well. And over the years, people left, other people joined. There were people who were kind of undermining people. There wasn't as much support as I'd hoped. And the head changed, which made an enormous difference. So when you go for an interview at school, I mean, you could go for an interview in April of one year to start in September, and the head could be a different person in that September. So don't put loads and loads of pressure on yourself or even on the school to be like your perfect place. So yeah, so just, you know, kind of trust your gut and go with the flow, really. That's all I'm saying. And if it doesn't feel right, move on. And that does kind of lead me on to my second point about my second failure, was how I left teaching. I would not recommend this to anybody. So I literally left from one day to the next. I didn't know that I was going to leave from one day to the next, but I have talked all about this in my teacher wellbeing and burnout episode. I woke up one day and had a panic attack and couldn't go to school. Part of the failure was not seeing that coming. As I mentioned before, the head had changed, and I had a meeting with him the day before, like, basically my last day, that nobody knew was going to be my last day. And I just felt a complete lack of support from him. And he just kind of came at me with some stuff that I had no idea about. And I just felt like everyone had been talking about me behind my back. And it just gave me anxiety and panic attacks. And it was really, really nasty. So, I mean, he didn't last very long, but can I just say, sorry. It's a bit of schadenfreude. But yeah, he didn't last long. He wasn't a great head. Anyway, so the next day, I just could not get dressed. Like, I couldn't get out of bed. I was having panic attacks, and I called in sick. I tried again a couple of times. I got in my car one day, managed to drive out the village, then had a panic attack while I was driving, had to pull over. And and then I got signed off by my doctor, and they just kept extending my sick note. And in the end, I just made the decision. I was like, oh, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to go back. But the reason why I think this is a failure is it's just not a good way of doing it. You know, like I say, I wouldn't change anything now because I love my life. I'm very happy with my life as it is. I wish I had seen the warning signs. I wish I had understood that I was getting to a point where I was burning out, where I was so stressed it was making me ill, and that I hadn't kept pushing, that I had spoken to somebody about the stress that I was feeling, about the lack of support I was feeling, about the issues that were going on. I've said this a million times before as well. It was nothing to do with the children. It was all colleagues and leadership. It was not the children at all. But that is part of the failure. I felt like I'd failed the children. You know, I had a year 11 tutor group at the time, and I still just feel awful that I left them halfway through their year 11. And it will always feel like a bit of a failure. But as the point of this episode is, what have I learned from my failures? Number one is to recognize burnout before it occurs. So I am much, much, much better at this now, 100%. I know when my brain is starting to feel a bit frazzled. I know when I'm starting to feel ill. I'm extremely privileged now. I'm in a position where I can take a few steps back. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm the mother of a small child. So, you know, can't take that many steps back, but I can take a few steps back. There are things that I can adjust and change in my life. I can slow down. I've done a social media post about this as well, and I sent out a Top Tips Tuesday email. I don't know if I've really talked about these on the podcast. Every Tuesday, I send an email to my email list, top tips. And one of them was actually, you know, what I do when I sense burnout on the horizon. And it's just things like going for a walk, doing a bit of breath work, meditation, things like that, just calming myself down and calming my brain down. So that is something I've definitely learned. I mean, I have learned a lot from the end of my teaching career, the end of my life in the classroom. But I think that's one of the most important things, and to take care of my mental health, you know, before this happens. And I've also learned that teaching wasn't right for me. And I think that's a huge, huge life lesson. I am so passionate about education. And if you've ever listened to any episodes of this podcast before, or if you have been to one of my workshops, or if you've got my resources, or if you know anything about me at all, I hope that you know I am so passionate about education. I'm passionate about languages. I'm passionate about language education and doing the best thing for young people. I'm actually feeling a little bit emotional saying that, because I am so passionate about education. And I thought the only way that I could work in education was to be a classroom teacher. My dad and stepmom were both teachers, and they actually did leave the classroom. My dad did special needs teaching, and he ended up being a consultant in the local authority in Northamptonshire. And he would go around schools and he would advise schools and help schools with children with statements, as they were called in those days. And my stepmom moved into kind of ICT stuff and did sort of consultancy in the same way. So I knew that there were ways of working in education, but not actually being a classroom teacher. And I just got to that point where I realized I love education. I want to work in the world of education. I can't imagine myself ever not working in the world of education and not working with teachers. And I love what I do now. I love supporting teachers. I love working with teachers. I love doing teacher training and development and coaching and all the business side of things and everything like that. So, you know, yes, I maybe should have left teaching in a slightly different way. I wish it had been a bit more controlled rather than a reactive, oh my gosh, I can't even get up and go to school and I'm never going to go back again. But what I've learned from that is that being a classroom teacher in a secondary school is not for me. I'm going to talk about one quite recent failure, the thing that actually prompted me to do this episode, in a moment. I've definitely had a few failures in my business as well. One of the things that I've realized over the past few years is I tried to work for somebody else for a few months when George, my son, was a baby, and I realized I don't want a job. I love working for myself. So, you know, leaving teaching and setting up on my own, yes, it might seem like a failure in some ways, but what I have learned is that I love working for myself, and I'm not very good at working for other people. I don't like being told what to do. Okay, the third failure that I'm going to talk about is a much more recent one. It's almost a bit harder to talk about this because it is more recent. It's about online evening classes. A couple of years ago, I used to teach online evening classes for MFL teachers. We were doing really, really well. I had a couple of other tutors. They were absolutely fantastic. And then I decided around kind of Easter 2023, 3 that I didn't want to work in the evenings anymore. And I decided I was going to offer one-to-one classes for MFL teachers during the day. My current team of tutors are also, quite a lot of them are available kind of in that after school period when I'm not available because I'm picking up my son from preschool and now school. So yeah, so we offer one-to-one classes, but they're just during the day and just in that kind of after school period, as in like 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was really clear, I didn't want to work in the evenings anymore. And for some reason, about 6 months ago, so talking like February, March time, 2024, I decided, oh, I'm going to start evening classes again. Not for any of the right reasons at all. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about what the reasons were, but I thought, right, I'm going to set them up. And I had a bit of a brainwave. I joined a gym and I was like, oh, when you join a gym, you get access to all of their classes and you can just like sign up for their classes and just come along to them when you want to. And I was like, oh, what if people just paid a fixed fee every month and then they could just come along to as many classes as they want? And I started with conversation classes, which was a massive disaster in and of itself because people don't actually want conversation classes, it turns out. And honestly, they were a disaster. So yes, I had a few people sign up. I probably had about 20 people signed up, which for some people, they'd say, oh, that's quite a lot. But they were paying like £20 a month. And because they were conversation classes, I wanted native speakers. I didn't even get a German native speaker in the end. I just did the German ones myself. I quite enjoyed doing them when I did them, but nobody turned up for most of the ones that I tried to do. So I probably only did 2 where I actually spoke in German and I didn't just sit and watch an empty Zoom screen. So yeah, so then I had 2 native speakers to do the French and the Spanish, and I was paying them. And I pay my tutors, I think, a really good hourly rate. So people were paying 20 quid a month. I was paying them £40 an hour per lesson. And I literally didn't have enough people signed up to cover what I was paying them. And then they would turn up on the Zoom and then nobody would turn up for the lesson. So I was like, right, so I'm now paying them £40. Because I can't not pay you because you've actually, like, you've logged into Zoom. You've taken that time out of your evening. So then I was paying them for not teaching a lesson because people didn't turn up. That I didn't have the money to pay because I didn't have actually enough people on the subscriptions. And the more I was trying to promote it and trying to talk about it, and it was just falling absolutely flat. And I realized it's because I didn't want to do them. And I got to, so I'm being super, super honest. And this is nothing, well, it's partly to do with the fact that people didn't turn up, but nothing to do with anybody who did eventually turn up. I just didn't want to work in the evenings anymore. And I'd get to like 7 o'clock on a Monday and say, I don't want to do this. Like, you know, I'd had a long, busy day of work. I'd go and fetch my son from preschool, you know, come home, I would do dinner with him and everything. You know, I factor in family time. So my family time is from whenever I pick him up, bring him home, we play, we have dinner, watch a bit of TV and we'll play again. And then it's bath time and it's bedtime. And I want to be as present as I possibly can for him at that time. And sometimes that's quite tiring. And honestly, by the time he's in bed at sort of 7, half 7 and asleep and, you know, I can kind of relax, that's it. Like, I'm done. I don't need and I don't want to work in the evenings anymore. So I just got to the point where I was like, this isn't working. And then I thought, wow, what can I do to make it work? And I thought, oh, maybe I could create some pre-recorded grammar lessons and I could put those up. And then from September, I was planning to do some more sort of structured lessons. And then I just thought, why am I doing this? This is not something that anybody has ever asked me for. Like, what am I doing? So in the end, I do feel like it was quite a failure. I ended up having to refund people quite a lot of money at a time when I wasn't necessarily earning as much money as I normally would. I'd had a huge influx of revenue. When I doubled my buy everything price, lots and lots of people bought it at the old price. And then in kind of April and May, there was quite a dip in my earnings because lots of people had bought buy everything at the old price and it was before people started to buy it at the new price. So I was like, oh no, I'm not really earning much money, but I need to refund these people because I just don't want to do this anymore. I had to tell my tutors, I'm really sorry, this isn't going ahead, this isn't happening. And quite quietly just kind of taken it off my website and taken it, you know, not mentioned it again on social media and things like that. And, you know, so this is me kind of fessing up, like, this is what's happened. But I have learnt. I have learnt from this. So, as I said, no one was asking me for this. For some reason, I was like, oh, I want to do evening classes again. Literally nobody had asked me for that at all. So if you do run a business, or even as a teacher, and you're thinking about like what you're going to do with your students and stuff like that, listen to your audience. If your audience is your class, or if your audience is, I don't know, whoever you're talking to, listen to them and do what they want and do things for the right reason. So I don't even really know what my reasons were for doing these. I think it was just, I don't know, I just had a bit of a brainwave that would be a good idea to do, but it wasn't. So if you're doing, you know, if you are doing something, test it out. Ask people, is this what you want? And actually just do the things that people are asking for. Don't waste time and energy trying to create something that people don't actually want. So that's what I've learned from that. But the really positive thing that I've learned from that is it's always worth giving something a go, you know? So maybe I wouldn't change it. Maybe because just like I was saying about, you know, trying to work for somebody when George was 6 months old, I realized I don't want to work for anybody ever again. But if I hadn't tried it, I might still be wondering. Whereas now, if anybody ever tried to give me a job or like make me apply for a job like these people did, which I was like, you've literally like approached me, begged me to do this job, and now you're making me apply and do an interview. It was very strange. And then I tried to withdraw because I realized, again, listen to your gut. I realized I didn't want to do it, but they kind of persuaded me and I gave it a go, and I didn't even last for like 2 months, I don't think. So yeah, but if I hadn't given that a go, I might still be wondering, oh, you know, when I do have slow months, because that's the thing, when you work for yourself, you don't earn the same amount of money every month. When I do have slow months, sometimes I might be wondering, oh, maybe I should go and get a job. But I don't. I don't have that in the back of my head. And now I will not have it in the back of my mind of, oh, what would happen if I did evening classes again? Because I tried it out again and I know unequivocally 100% I do not want to do that again. So there you go. A bit of a vulnerable episode, a bit of a getting to know Kate, getting to know the person behind Kate Languages a bit more, I think, maybe. As I say, I think people have enjoyed my teaching wellbeing and burnout episode. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope it wasn't too heavy and it was quite funny actually in the end anyway. And can you tell me some of your failures, if you don't mind sharing them with me? So you can email hello@katelanguages.co.uk or get in touch with me on Facebook or Instagram. I'm at Kate Languages on both. And yeah, do you have any failures that have really been a massive learning experience for you? Yeah, let me know. So next week is my coaching episode, and that's going to be the last episode of this season already. Can you believe it? So yeah, see you then. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kate Languages podcast. If you did, please think about leaving me a 5-star review. And you can also tag me on social media to let me know you've been listening and let me know your thoughts on the episode. Also, don't forget to subscribe so the next episode of the Kate Languages podcast can be delivered straight to your device as soon as it's released. But until then, auf Wiedersehen, au revoir, adios, bye.